Welcome to Office Hours with Adam Peterson, where I talk to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts to find answers to those day-to-day questions about life and work in Luxembourg. If you have questions you'd like answered, let me know at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to today's show. I've always thought that restaurateurs are crazy. Who would open a business where 90% fail in the first year? Well, it turns out that the claim in American Express's 2003 advert that 9 out of 10 restaurants fail in the first year was false. But that doesn't mean they're not still crazy. 17% don't last the first year in the US. That isn't great odds to gamble your life savings. So on today's episode of Office Hours, we'll dive into the world of restaurants. And with the help of our friends from Vault, understand how the food delivery companies have changed the dynamic. So to help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Tanner Adair from Simon Says Chicken.
Hi, thank you.
Joined by Marianne Donvan from Sheesh.
Hello.
And Thomas Echeverry, the Luxembourg country head from Vault.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Great. So I want to get into the origin story of your restaurants to start off with. So Marianne, how long has Sheesh been going and how did it come about?
Sheesh started in 2017. Actually, the target was to open a pop-up restaurant in the beginning in a house that was supposed to be demolished to offer some jobs for refugees.
That's the one in Limpertsburg?
That was in Hollerich.
In Hollerich, okay.
Yes. And then because we were so successful and when we had to move out, the house was demolished, we had 18 employees and we thought, no, we can't lay them off again. And then that's where we started to look for a permanent location and that's when we moved to Limpertsburg.
So you've got one in Limpertsburg, you've got other
ones? In Esch,
and one
in Bettange. We took over the Moudam Café last year in Bonnevoie and we just recently opened in Etelbruck. So
fantastic.
We have 6 locations.
Yeah. And the food is generally Lebanese?
Syrian Lebanese, yes. So we say Lebanese because people can understand what the Lebanese kitchen means. Syrian is more complicated maybe to explain, but it's almost the same.
Yeah, and a lot of people argue over the origin story of dolma. So many different
and falafel, many things, yes.
So Tanner, you're Turkish, right?
Yeah, I'll not get into the dolma.
Yeah, that's another debate for another time. So why did you go for the Lebanese food? Because you're not Lebanese, right?
No, I'm Luxembourgish. I'm actually almost the only Luxembourgish in Sheesh. But we went for Syrian food, actually, because the chefs that I had met were Syrian refugees. And they, till today, do the cooking, do the recipes. Yes.
So this was out of the Syrian refugee crisis, exactly. From the civil war in Syria. I did not know that. That is so inspiring to hear because looking back, I don't think Europe was particularly welcoming to Syrians at the time. And then we were very welcome to Ukrainians. So it's great to hear that you're one of those generous hearted people who got us going. And it's great to hear you're growing as well. Tanner, tell me about Simon Says Chicken. And most importantly, like, who's Simon?
Simon actually is a friend of mine that I call Simon. His real name is not Simon. But he's a friend of mine that I call Simon and with whom we opened the place. It's 3 of us, my nephew and Simon.
Okay.
Simon with whom we do the work.
Your background isn't restaurants, right?
Like I was an expert in financial crime. I'm finding out about it. And I was working in the banking industry as a director, yeah.
So why did you decide to leave a relatively stable job in stopping financial crime and then move into something which is pretty risky like a restaurant?
I will first confirm that it's really risky and I would not really advise it to myself 3 years back, but I did that because of the stability and maybe I was too young for that kind of stability and waiting for my retirement 30 more years.
So you were bored in the bank pretty much?
Pretty much.
Okay, excellent. So you've got different models then. Sheesh is pretty much all like a dining experience. And whilst you can dine in at Simon Says Chicken, it's probably not the place you're going to go on your wedding anniversary. It's
more of a
fast food type restaurant, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see then how that plays out with the relationship with the food delivery companies. But I want to go back to the pandemic. And prior to the pandemic, did you...
No, we didn't even do takeout. Just did in-house dining. Yeah.
Did you start during the pandemic to keep the restaurant viable or how did it come about?
Yes, because we were not entitled to a lot of government aid because you had to prove that you lost 40% compared to 2019. And in 2019, we were a very small restaurant in Hollerich. So we had tripled the staff and so on. So we got only the chômage partiel,
okay.
But all the other aids we were not eligible for. So we really had to survive on our own. So we opened a shop, like a Lebanese grocery store, where you could buy medze for takeout. We opened on all the special days, like Valentine's Day, Easter, all these days where we usually were closed, especially open for people to come and take their menu home. And that's when we started doing really takeout, yes. But still no delivery.
No delivery. So when did you start the delivery then?
With Gusti, I don't remember exactly the name, but it was after the pandemic. Yes, yes.
And then so Simon, not Simon, so... Tane, you launched 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was in 2022, in June. And actually, the whole plan we did it during the pandemic. And the strategy that we created was totally in line with this delivery frenzy during the pandemic.
For coming out of the pandemic and actually reliant on that service.
Exactly.
So when we came out of the pandemic then, we've got the homegrown delivery companies at the time, Gusti and We Deli. Luxembourg is quite a traditional city, expensive cost of labour. People during the pandemic, they learned how to cook at home. Thomas, why did Volt come and join the party then? It seems like a crazy time.
First of all, yeah, it is true that labour is expensive. It's also true that, you know, average basket size are tend to be high. And at the same time, Luxembourg was lacking a product that was really like a world-class product, right? A user experience that was world-class, right? I think that's what Wolt could bring to the market, right? I think that's what has been one of the key sort of competitive advantages that we've had in the market. While we at the same time stayed local, right? We came in with a local investment. We have a full team here, all our functions, support, marketing, operations, our commercial team as well. They're all based here. So I think we sort of struck a good balance between having a world-class product, an appealing brand, but also a local presence. Right?
So whilst they've got a high cost of labour, there's also a lot of good talent then to employ directly in there. So how many people are employed in the country by full-time?
A little bit over 20 people.
So now I want to move into how does the relationship work between the two of you? How does that work? Who pays who? Do you pay Volt for access to customers, or do Volt pay the restaurants because then you carry their food? Which way does it work?
It's actually the customer paying.
Yeah, so in general terms, we get the payments from the customers, right? And then from there, we disperse a part for the merchant and a part for the courier partners, right?
And when I was growing up in Birmingham, it was always cheaper to do like a takeout curry because then you're not taking up the time in the restaurant, you're not taking the space. So my guess is that the restaurants end up selling at a discount as opposed to if I was dining in. Is that correct?
Or no, we don't change our price, no.
Oh, really?
Yes.
If I'm buying a mezze at €7.50 and if I'm ordering through Volt, you're still getting the €7.50.
Yes, and you pay more expensive because you have to pay for the
delivery on top.
But, yes.
Okay.
I think essentially what happens is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, right? You are the restaurateurs, but if you look into the cost structure of a restaurant, it's food, labor, real estate, right?
Yeah.
And then the latter two are particularly expensive in Luxembourg, right? But then the orders that you have online, you are essentially not paying for that much real estate and you're not paying for that much labor. And I think here we have two examples of like different business models that operate on Europe. Tanner, you operate on a little bit of less real estate than Shish does, right? So maybe it's interesting to go into that.
Yeah.
But then what you do pay is for that delivery to get to the customer, right?
Yeah.
So the cost structure is different, but at the end of the day, sort of ends up equalizing, you know, in the unit economics.
Yeah. So Tanner, you said that you built your business plan off this model. Yeah. So how much of your business goes through the delivery companies?
In the beginning, it was a lot of it. So when we opened, the brand was not existing. It's ours. So except the kids that are in the school right in front of us, it was mostly delivery.
Yeah.
And at that time, we were working. It was only We Deli and Gusti present, and they were paying very late. Like they were paying at the beginning of the next month. So you were making some sales, and then you were paid 45 days later for that. So that portion, huge portion, was sometimes making you happy because you see the figures grow.
Yeah.
But then you don't get paid until the next month, and that was very hard. And we were doing close to 60% of our businesses for the first 3-4 months on the on delivery. And then people started to know our name, actually, to say, hey, Simon says she can, maybe I should go and visit. And we had a lot of gain from that visibility that we didn't have, because we did not have the budget for promotion.
Yeah, that must have been pretty scary then, when you were getting 60% of your revenues a month and a half later than...
It was a nightmare. Oh, it was always a nightmare. So that was corrected with Volt. Volt is paying...
More timely.
Yeah, timely. And that's really something that was really important for us, because doing that much, that portion of the business with the delivery people, we were really sometimes about to die before the end of the month.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And the brand awareness made that finally people were started to move to our place. And we have a price difference between, if you eat on spot, it's a little cheaper than if you get delivered.
So you were 60% when you started.
Yeah.
Are you?
No, now it's much less. When we do the promotions with True Vault, then we get back to portions of almost 40-45 still. Yeah. But when it's not, then it's the opposite.
And that must be the opposite for Sheesh then. So you've gone from zero then...
So almost 10% now.
Almost 10%.
But especially when we have the promotions, it's really going crazy. But we really have to often close the Vault application, because we can't follow on the production. They're just spitting out the tickets. They go crazy in the kitchen. And they have the green light from me to always close it when they can't breathe anymore. Yes.
You've touched on something there that I wanted to get into. If I'm going to a restaurant, let's say I'm going to Sheesh for my wedding anniversary or something, I'd be really frustrated if my food wasn't coming and I'd see all these orders heading out the door.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that requirement? So you turn off the Vault app.
We extend the delivery, the production time. You can choose whether you will be ready in 15 or 20 or 45 minutes.
And then you'll add some time on top of that, Thomas, for the actual delivery.
Yeah, so when you're a customer, you'll see the estimate of the delivery, that the time is going to take, right? And if they set it longer, then it's going to be a little bit longer for the customer. Because the delivery, like the back time is going to be the same, but they're going to take a little bit longer in prepping the food.
That's answered one of the questions I wanted to get to. So good, I won't be there getting frustrated as people orders are going out the door whilst I'm sat there waiting. Now we know a bit more about the restaurant business, the relationship with the food delivery companies. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with some of the chewier questions. This episode of Office Hours is sponsored by the delivery platform Vault, bringing you delicious food and whatever you need to your home or office in 30 minutes. Try Vault today with the discount code OfficeHours, in one word, all capitals, for 50% off on your first purchase with Vault. Download the app in the App Store or go to vault.com. Bon appetit. Get your favourite restaurant meals and your daily groceries delivered from supermarkets and shops near you. €10 off your first two orders. I was handed this outside Cloche d'Or 10 days ago, but the card wasn't branded Vault, but Uber Eats. So welcome back to Office Hours, and today we're looking at restaurants with a focus on how the restaurant business has changed with the arrival of the food delivery companies. And I want to start with competition. As shown by that Uber offer, and there's a Vault offer in this episode, this is a fiercely competitive market. And there have been casualties. So Goosty was founded during the pandemic, sold for €1.3 million a year later to Carlito, and that parent company filed for bankruptcy last October. So Thomas, does it feel brutal on the inside? And how are you managing in this competitive environment?
I think what we try to do is just like go show up in the office every day, do our best, and focus on giving the best experience to customers and making the best relationships with restaurants. And don't look too much to the sides, right? So like, what's the other one doing? We're sort of convinced that if we do the best experience for the customer and for the restaurant and for the courier partner, that's how we're going to win, right?
Yeah, you're belying your experience at Amazon. So Amazon focus on the customer and not the competition, right?
Two very similar companies in that sense.
Yeah, so if you focus on the customer, then the competition kind of falls away because you're the most customer focused.
Yeah.
And your market share then in Luxembourg is...
So we estimate it to be between 50 and 60%.
50 and 60%. And you're operational in four cities, I think. So
we are mainly obviously in the city, and then in all the southwest, let's call it that. So Esch, Surazet, and then Differdange, Doulange, all that region. We are operating to the north, so through Mersch, Dikirch, Etelbruck. And in the east, we are in Remish.
Is the competition the same, or are you the first mover in some of those areas away from the city?
No, so we don't necessarily like are overlapping everywhere. They're in some small places we aren't, and then some places we are and they aren't, right?
Yeah.
We go really granular into like choosing where we want to be. And our main determining factor would be that we can offer a good selection of restaurants, right? There's no point for us in going to a new place and then that you open the app there as a customer and see like two or three restaurants there. That's not what we're looking for.
Who searches out who? So do you spend your time pounding the streets looking for restaurants to sign up, or do the restaurants come to you?
I would say we have both. These days we get a lot of inbound sort of leads, right? People that just go into our website and say, hey, I want to deliver through Vault. But yeah, of course, we do have our commercial team out there who's like they're on the hunt for getting new restaurants as well. Every day, every week, we are adding some restaurants.
So they came to us, yes.
They came to you, did they?
Yes, yes. And then my children said, yes, Mama, you have to do Vault. Vault are the best. I'm studying in Munich, for example. No, I think from other European countries, youth, they all know about Vault. I didn't know about Vault before they came. But
so is their reputation elsewhere?
Reputation in other capitals is very good.
And Tana, you work with other companies as well?
So we used to work with Widely.
And
then we started the discussions with Vault, and we also, you know, I had the idea of doing the deliveries in-house, and on our side as a business, the main important is how much the delivery will cost.
So let's walk through that. When a delivery happens, and let's say I get some food and it's not what I think I've ordered, or it's cold, who do I complain at, and whose fault it is, and who carries the can?
Yeah, you just come to us, come to Vault. So I think that's one of our other differentiating factors, is the support that we have and the quality of it, right? So either if you are a courier partner or a merchant or a customer, you can contact our support. They're always going to be there available during the times that we have deliveries. We take care of whatever is going wrong. And then we turn our backs and, well, let's say the problem was really a restaurant's problem, right? They just forgot to put something that you ordered. Well, then we obviously gonna turn back to the restaurant and say, okay, we'll deduct this part because it was just not done, right? But whenever the problem is in the delivery, that's us taking care of it fully.
Even if it's not your creation of an issue, you're gonna take the complaints from the customer, you're gonna keep that customer happy because you want them to come through you. And then you'll have a conversation between the restaurant to find out what really went wrong and those sorts of things.
I mean, that's part of our service, right? That's our value proposition, right? That we deal with that part, we take care of that. And then you just like worry about getting your food, right?
A little bit more on Vault then. Yeah. So is it a food delivery company? Is that the way to think about it?
No, not at all.
How do you think about it?
So the way we think about it is a shopping mall in your pocket. We started with the food court, but then we are going to all the other floors, right? So our next step here in Luxembourg is we're really after the sort of big grocery stores, right? We want you to be able to order your groceries any time of the day, just from the convenience of your home.
Through Cactus or Auchan, not yet signed up, I'm guessing, but those are the companies.
I mean, we're ready for all of them, but then we want to go into like pharmaceuticals, things like, well, we had Valentine's Day recently. We had a lot of flowers delivered, right? Chocolates. Yeah. Genève has recently joined our platform, this big Luxembourgish chocolatier. Did great in Valentine's Day.
To return back to the restaurant, it must be a revenue stream that's helping restaurants be more viable.
No, for us, it's definitely allowing us to go up to 100% of our productivity, of our production capacity. And it allows us as well to cut it off when we can't do it. So for us, it's very, very convenient to be able to add it to our normal business whenever we need and whenever we can.
And I'm guessing Simon Says Chicken wouldn't have got off the ground if it wasn't for the delivery companies.
I have to admit that, yes, because we have just a small shop in a rue d'Anvers next to Place de Paris.
Yep.
So if you were not passing by and then looking carefully, you would not even know that we existed. We existed now through delivery platforms, and now with Vault, and Vault is helping as well to get our logo known within bus stops. Maybe I've seen these advertisements that they do. So on my side, the delivery part is key, and I really feel the support. But as I said, it's not it's really about the relationship, because at the end is how much does it cost me to get the food delivered, and I'm not a tifosi.
Yeah.
In this case, it's
a tifosi, a fan of
the. So in this case, it's just that the business makes sense.
We've got another episode coming around gig economy and the couriers. But tell me a little bit about your experience and relationship with the couriers that come into your restaurants.
Well, I must say I know most of them, because many of them are refugees. I know that many of them were looking for a job for years in Luxembourg, and this job with Volt allowed them to finally have a purpose, work, and they're very, very happy about it.
We can say they're pretty much friends, because when we do 100 delivery in a day where we work 10 hours, it's one guy every 6 minutes that enters our shop. So we know them, we have relationship with them, you know, like they do eat with us, they do drink with us, and we really, consider them as part of our team. And that's really important, I think, to know that they are doing the job. When it's cold, I'm still in my kitchen and they are.
It's hard work being out there in the rain and the snow in Luxembourg, right? Well, I think that takes us to almost out of time. So we'll be returning, as I say, to the topic of food delivery, looking more at the delivery side. But all that's left for me to do is to say thank you for the guest. So thank you, Marianne, for coming in. And if people want to know more about Ashish and the restaurants and accessing it, how would they do that?
Ashish.lu.
Ashish.lu, and it's Chiche.
Exactly.
Okay. And Tana for Simon Says Chicken.
SimonSaysChicken.lu and SimonSaysChicken on Instagram.
You said you're Rue de
Rue d'Anvers in Luxembourg.
And then we've already covered that Chiche is in Limpertsburg, Etelbrook, Moudam, Ludelange,
Bonnevoie,
in
Esch.
We do also have a shop in Esch, Rue du Bril, and we will be also maybe neighbors in Etelbrook.
Neighbors in Esch and neighbors in Etelbrook. That's
fantastic.
Nice.
And Thomas, if someone hasn't been pinged by a Volt advert on their phone
highly
at some
unlikely.
Point. How would they get in contact with you?
So I think the best way is to download the app, right? And then just start browsing around. You're going to find a lot of really, really tasty restaurants like Chiche and Simon Says Chicken and many others.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you very much to the listener.